has made any changes in the oppression of lesbians? Do you think it has lessened that at all?
Well, somewhat. Maybe not personal oppression, that, you know, personal feelings of oppression that you may feel that someone's putting you down because you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I think it's done major changes. It's become more open. I mean, now they talk about lesbians, I mean, in a way that it's acceptable. I mean, homosexuality, where it's sort of like in the norm. In that sense, yeah. But still, you have feelings sometimes that you're oppressed because you're a lesbian, you know. But that's maybe a hang-up that one may have.
Mm-hmm.
Of your own.
Well, people still do get fired from.
Yeah.
You know, so those feelings may be somewhat real. But you think they're less. I mean, you think that the situation has eased up somewhat.
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's easier for women now to come out, younger women to come out? Well, particularly in Buffalo?
Come out in what sense?
You mean, I mean to like break into the community, recognize their lesbianism, maybe tell a friend, tell a parent.
No, that's probably just as hard. Because those are experiences all over again. There's a certain frame of mind that comes along with that too. That comes with time. That you acquire that with experience and with time. And
mm-hmm.
That's just as hard.
Yeah. So you think that a 17, 18-year-old like you were, recognizing her lesbianism would have just as much trouble today as you did.
Sure.
When you came out. Uh-huh. So on a very personal kind of level, it's still real hard. How do you feel, you know, what do you see that could possibly change that, especially here in your local community? Do you think only time can do that? Or can we do something about it?
Well, I remember having dealings with counselors on Allen Street. There was like a rap center there. I think it was...
The gay center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Even informal encounters, you know, not you know, like counselor-client type of thing. But even informal encounters with just, you know, other gay people. I remember that helped me. I mean, to get along with people, to meet different people, just walking into the center and you know, bullshitting around with that helped. That helped opening up even. Something like that.
One thing that we didn't talk about much is any work experiences that you've had since you've been gay. And, well, okay, first of all, have you worked since you were 18? Have you had jobs?
Yeah.
And, have you been able to come out to anybody at those jobs?
And tell them that what
that
I...
That you were gay?
There was, yeah, when I was younger, yeah, because I was that kind of a person. I would let someone know right off the bat that I was that way. And, you know, like foreman. And, you
know. Where did you work?
Well, I worked at Markel Electric.
Were those factory kinds of jobs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked at Sports Service,
oh, yeah.
the Anti-Defamation League.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Army.
Well, okay, first of all, let's talk about the jobs. And then, of course, the Army is kind of a special situation. Who were you able, you know, like, you were able to tell your foreman?
Well, he was on the make. We used to work piece work, and if he liked you, he would give you the better jobs. Okay, the better jobs, and that meant you made more money because, you know, they paid better. And somehow it was kind of expected that if he kept doing it, he would want to go out with you. And that came up once. And I told him that I liked women. And he took it graciously. He didn't bother me after that. Of course, I didn't get the nice jobs. You know, as a matter of fact, I remember he stuck me after that working with a guy that was a guy's job, you know, making these big toolbox doors. And they weighed like 25 pounds, and he had me doing that. And I was little, and the guy was like 6'1". So I think that was kind of a shaft, what he did.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't, I mean, I wasn't harassed by it, mm-hmm. by the fact that I told him.
And what about any other jobs?
The people that I've worked with, I've let some of them know my life, my lifestyle, and some have been turned off to the point where they don't get to know you beyond that, mm-hmm. beyond what they see.
Yeah.
And then others, they don't care. They just like you. It's something that's taken for granted, that that's just part of you. And they never question, some of them have never questioned me what, you know, what I really do, what my, you know, some are curious. Some just.
Did you find in general that, like, more people were accepting than
yeah.
rejecting?
Yeah.
Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people on in the work level, yeah. They
accepted you
yeah.
more. Uh-huh. You know, that seems to be a lot of people's experience. But you didn't have to tell
even
too many people higher. Go ahead.
Even professional people, they're just as accepting, except that they're somewhat different. They give you the impression that they don't want to know, or that they give you this impression. It's this attitude that they have, you know, this professional attitude. It's a state of mind, I heard, but
I'm not sure what that means.
Well,
and what do you mean by professional people?
Well, like yourself, all right.
Uh-huh.
Like doctors, like that. They don't. Usually, they're even more accepting than someone in a working class because they're more open-minded than some
yeah.
Polish worker or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're more.
But you said that they give the impression that they really don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They give you this impression that they don't really want to know about what's going on in their life because that might interfere with what's going on in their life, with their work. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's take like Darlene, all right? Now she was a doctor, and even though there were a lot of times that she would come home and she would tell me that even though so-and-so was like her, that she couldn't relate sometimes because she might have a hard time with her job, She would try and hide. Yeah.
Oh, I see. She had a hard time with other professional people that might have been gay also. Oh, yeah. Sure. But so her relationships then were mostly with people who were not doing what she was doing for a job.
Right.
That seems reasonable. You know, she didn't have a well-established practice at the time, so it was still walking a tightrope. And yet the people that you worked with at your everyday job, you could tell.
Yeah. I just came out and said it. I don't think if I had to do it all over again, I don't think I would have done it the way I did, because not that it caused me any repercussions, just that, you know, that's rather uncomfortable sometimes to just come out, you know, with your sexuality. But yet that's part of you, you know. That's actually part of you. And yet you put yourself in a position, and you put the other person too in a very uncomfortable position, because you know, like, what is he supposed to do with it? I mean, now that
hello, my name is Jane and I'm a lesbian and it's 3 o'clock and now what?
That's happened to me. That's, you know, I don't like to feel like, you know, I'm living double standards where I'll explain everything and you know, like maybe in a male tense, you know, like I lived with him and or that kind of thing, you know, to someone I don't really want to know. And yet I find feeling very, saying to myself, why did I do that? I mean, there's nothing I have to hide. I'm not this and that. But I do that maybe for them, not so much for me, because I don't care, you know. And then I'll tell them in a more comfortable situation.
Uh-huh.
I find out that the reason why I hesitated so is because of their attitude. I know of their attitude that they took all along, or where they stopped themselves from maybe being your friend, or sort of leery because they don't know if maybe you're attracted to them, or, you know, or why you told them to begin with.
Do you have some kinds of career plans that are clear to you now?
No, they're not that clear. They're just getting there. I decided a couple of years ago. I decided that the best thing for me was to finish what I had in mind years ago, and that was to go to school. And even though, you know, I went to UB when I was, you know, right after high school. I was in 69, and I remember going to UB and feeling inadequate, feeling my background was very inadequate for school. So I didn't go back to school the following year because there was no way I don't think I would have passed. So what I did was, it took a long time for me to realize that the best thing to do is maybe get like a college prep. So I went last year for college prep in business.
Mm-hmm.
And I like management a lot. And I've always wanted to know about computers, you know, some anyway. And I went to EOC last year, and I did all right. I got good grades, and I didn't really know where I was going from there. I wanted to go to Bryan and Stratton because it was 2 years, and I felt, man, at that time I felt so old. I felt like I was only, 26, but I felt so old, and like I wasn't going to live very much longer. Like I was going to just all of a sudden wither away, you know. So I wanted to get it over with real fast, and I wanted a 2-year college. But this one professor that I had, I mean this one instructor that I had, he thought that I was, you know, better material than Brian Strand. So he kept persuading me to go to Kenesha, or to look into Kenesha. So I went, and I remember going through the tour of Kenesha's and feeling pretty good. So I decided to try it. And it's hard. It is hard because even with that college prep, some of those kids, they come in there and they've had a lot of the material that's just fresh for me. Mm-hmm. So that. But I'm interested in management, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know why. I don't know, who knows what I'm going to do with it. But I was thinking of later on doing something like what that professor did, was teaching like he did, you know, the disadvantage, mm-hmm. you know, with what he did, because that's what he taught. He taught the business courses, and I like the way the man came across to me, the way he sort of made me realize my worth, which is something that, you know, I don't think I even know yet. You know, I'm just beginning to realize, because I've never had much self-esteem. I'm just building myself up. So and this man sort of put it in front of me in a very slick way, you know, and I liked what he did to me, and I liked the way he came across to not just myself but the other students, how he gave us a purpose. And in my life is small, but he gave me a good feeling to go to class, you know, to study and to get my grade. And I'd like to be not like him, but I'd like to do something like him for you know, other students. I mean, other mm-hmm. people like that who want to learn, because the thing is to want to learn, you know. And I like that very much. You know, I like that a lot. I don't sometimes. And yet, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure, because what I have, I don't know. That field is very competitive right now. You know, and yet, I think I'm good material for like maybe a management position, but maybe not for a company. Maybe just to open up a place. You know, like my brother wants to. He's had dreams of opening up his own place, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a bath or, but going in with him, maybe that's why, mm-hmm. maybe that's why I want it. I don't have anything definite, I mean, as far as
well,
job.
Well, it sounds like you have a direction, and it's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
But it could be real exciting.
I feel like a baby. And that, yeah, like a growing up all mm-hmm. over again, because mm-hmm. like I grew up in different like street, but now I'm growing up in books, and that's fascinating, because at my age, I'm 27, right? And at my age, I've had a lot of experience, but not experience with this, and yet I find that it's a lot better. I find that I'm not actually at a disadvantage a lot of the times, because I want to learn, you know, like even though I may be getting C's or even B's, and I may not be getting A's, but I want to learn, and I'm putting a harder effort somewhat than some of those kids, and yet I have a reason for doing it, not just because, you know, it's expected, because no one's expecting it except myself. I want it now. Mm-hmm. And that's different. That's really, sometimes I feel, well, a lot more mature, you know, than what I am, than some of those kids. Mm-hmm. But it's given me, I don't know, I think it's changing my life somehow. I don't know how yet, but it's changing my life. Because I can just see how my interests have changed, and just maybe in a year's time, I can just see how, you know, my interests have changed. They're not so much like to go out and have a good time. They're more inward. They're more like not only to study, but to know that I need a balance. Like for that, that's why I take dance, to let off the steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you're really getting hold of it.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, I'm rather proud, because, and yet, I feel, sometimes I feel bad that it happened so late, because it's such a good feeling, you know. But I'm glad it's happening too at this point in my life, because, you know, I'm going through a lot of psychological, change, and that's where it's kind of stupid, but it's like growing up to be a woman, you know, and all these years, from even when I was a little girl, I remember hating the thought of being a woman, only because I didn't want to get married and have kids and, you know, fill that role. But being a woman entails a lot of things. It doesn't mean getting married. So I have this whole feeling. It's a new feeling for me. It's like where I like, not so much where, well, I like how I look, I like how I feel, and I like the attitude that I get up with every morning. And I think it has to do with taking up dance. It has to do with realizing that I have to quit smoking because that's not good for me. Realizing that I have to do this and I can't postpone it. You know, and those are responsibilities that I made for myself, that I chose to make for myself, and that I have to make, that I have to keep, because I made them for myself, and I feel good about that because I've never done that before. You know, I mean, it's been different things like maybe work, you know, but that was for somebody else. That wasn't for me. This is, I feel like this is for me, and all the effort that I'm putting out, all the energies that I'm spending, it's for me, and that's where I feel good, because I'm finally realizing what it is to have self-esteem, you know. And I never had that before. I think that's why I've been sort of shy. Mm-hmm.
That's great. It really is. Well, my next question was going to be, how do you feel about growing older? And it almost seems like an irrelevant question now, because you're really so full of hope and plans and, you know.
Oh, you know, I was walking around. I think it had to do with this attitude that I took, that I was dying, and I was dying. I mean, I was dying up here in my head, and I was so closed off. You know, I mean, and it wasn't intentionally. It was sort of pushed on me. I was closed off to everything around me, and I wasn't growing. It got to be very, very stale. My life was very, very stale, and so I felt real old, and I felt like I was 35 already, and I was only 25, you know, and that sort of changed. That, you know, when my love and I split, and I had, for the first time, I had all this space, you know, and I had to make it constructive for me, and once I did that, and once I blended, you know, whatever it was, I didn't feel 35. You know, as a matter of fact, sometimes I feel 22. You know, because my body feels good, my mind feels clear. I don't, you know, it's funny, but even, yeah, I feel young. I don't feel old. I'm not worried about getting old, because I'm just beginning to sort of expose myself to a lot of things, even like the cultural things. And so that, those are the things that keep you, those are the kind of things that keep you alive, that make you want to live. If you want to live, you tend to want to look good, you know, to feel healthy, that's what's happening. I never wanted to expose myself to all these things, and yet they were all there, and I never took advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that eventually you would like to settle down with a relationship, you know, in time to come, whenever?
Oh yeah, Christ. You know, it's funny. When I was younger, I used to run. You know, I did my running around. Mm-hmm. And yet, I got to a certain point where I wanted to be with one lover, and I did, and it was nice. It didn't last for very long, but it was nice. And now I want to be with someone. I do. I really do. And it hurts, because I'd like to start a relationship. And I could easily go out and try and meet, you know, people, and which I have done in a roundabout way, you know, in different circles of people. But I'm not. I know that I'm not ready for someone. I'm not ready. I want to feel whole. And I was so split. Like, my mind was so split when I was living with that, mm-hmm. with that person. It was horrible, because I loved her so that I just let her take over, let her dominate me in such a way that it was no good. It was no good for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you can't even go to the store alone. That's a little sick, and you know that person was emotionally imbalanced, and I realized that, but I loved, you know, I didn't want to break it up. I felt that I had made this for myself, and I wanted to make the best as possible, and I kept trying and trying. But what was happening is that I was getting weaker and weaker, you know, and just all of a sudden found myself like feeling I didn't even exist, because everyone kept away. They didn't like the change in me. They didn't like the change in the way I lived, and the way I came across, because I was like, I was really meek. I was afraid I'd be jumped at, you know, verbally. So that, you know, I used to watch everything, every move that I made, and that's not good. That's not healthy. And that became too much for me to handle. So, and too much for her too, because she realized that too, and she was falling apart. That she couldn't, you know, waste herself like that to, you know, watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
couldn't be everywhere.
Right.
I mean, she even come to school.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Do you feel that the friends that you have, or the community that you have built with the few gay women that you know that are friends, will remain a part of your life and be supportive as you get older?
No, I don't know. I think that's changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been up in my life up to this point, but I feel that's changing, because even though they're getting old like I am, they're not. Our interests are starting to sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, go apart. Mm-hmm. They're, I mean, we could still talk about domestic affairs and everyday happenings, and but like I need more. I mean, I could feel myself needing more, and for that, I find myself going, like, you know what I've been doing? I've been inviting like counselors to lunch. I like that. I like, you know, I've always been afraid of you know, people, you know, and in a high, you know, like in a high office. I was always afraid that I couldn't relate, and that's not so, you know. I have a lot to offer, except that I'm just beginning to realize it now, mm-hmm. and I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I mean, because I'm just forming a lot of ideas now, and so, but I find that more pleasant. I like to have lunch and just bullshit. But it's not bullshit, because it's not like, well, I just finished washing the dishes, you know. It's mm-hmm. they're different. It's different talk, and I like that. I find that more satisfying to me as a person, you know, because maybe something that person says, you know, I can, not that I have to incorporate it, but I learn from that, you know. I learn from just the way they do things. And I need that right now, because I just need that for my mind. It's feeding me.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, they were sort of wasted. I wasn't working, I wasn't doing much of anything. And I remember putting everything into the apartment, painting. I mean, I painted the walls, I wanted to strip floors, the whole bit. But yet I felt void, you know. I felt void, because not that a person needs a lot of talk, but there's certain talk that's really like you feel, and I was hungry. I felt hungry. I used to feel hungry, and I would read, but it wasn't enough, because there was no one to talk to about it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt, and that's how I feel. I feel starved. You know? I feel starved, and I'm glad that it happened now with the consciousness that I have, because I will take as much as I can. You know, I'll give too, but I mean, I will take as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad it happened now. Do you know that? And just the last couple of months, my brother, you know, I respect my brother a lot, you know, because he went 6 years to school, right,
mm-hmm.
to college. And so that his opinion of me means a lot, you know, because we've been close, and he's gay and whatnot. But he, like he says, you know, like I could see that he's proud, you know, proud of my attitude and how I'm doing it, because it's not like I'm taking advantage of someone or anything. It's, you know, taking advantage of me, you know. And he likes that, because
mm-hmm.
he's never seen me like that.
Right.
No, he's never seen me like that. He's always, and I guess he's always thought of it just like I did, and that I've been wasting it, because I'm rather skilled. I mean, I could pick up things real easily without having any knowledge of it beforehand, so that to learn something that's already, you know, like from books and, you know, that's good. That's a different kind of learning, but that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great. You mentioned something after I turned the tape off about.
Oh.
I said, was there anything else that you thought was important? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that as long as I've been out, I've noticed that the gay in the gay community, the males and, you know, the girls and the boys, they tend to there's always been like somewhat of a friction there, and I've seen it, and I've even felt it too, you know, to an extreme, you know. But I've always felt that people who feel like that, they're rather unfortunate, because I have a brother that's gay, so that, you know, I know a lot of gay, I know a few gay males, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not that, I benefit from the friendship, and I don't feel like they, you know, like they oppress me because I'm female or I'm gay. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes I get along a lot better with them than maybe a girl that I would know. They're, and it's a shame, you know, it's really a shame that that's gone on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you have any ideas about why that has happened?
No, I've asked people, and you know, they just think that, you know, the guys don't like them, and then, you know, I've asked the males, and they feel the same way, that, you know, they don't want to be around the women because they feel that they're uncomfortable, you know,
mm-hmm.
and yet they don't try and work it out. They don't. Just among friends, though, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a impersonal thing, they don't. It seems like they don't want to work it out,
mm-hmm.
and that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Why is it a shame?
Well, like I said, I think. Like, I've been fortunate to know, you know, both males and females, and mm-hmm. been close to both, and even in a bar, when I've gone to the bars, where the males have been receptive more so than sometimes the females, you know, as far as
mm-hmm.
you know, friendship, you know, it's just a shame because it seems like ostracizing your own kind, you know, like your other mm-hmm. side, you know.
It might seem that if you feel that maybe gay women are missing something or could benefit from relationships with gay men, what do you think about gay women relating to straight women? I mean, we're all women.
Mm-hmm. I'm just running across to that now.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself a bit uneasy at times because sometimes I think that it's all over my face, you know. You know,
Yeah,
yeah, something like that. And you know, and yet I know it isn't, you know. I find it hard sometimes. I find it hard because sometimes, you know, you're attracted to the woman, and you know that those feelings, you know, will eventually come out in very subtle ways, and yet you don't want to because you don't want them to you know, to go away, to turn off from you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just.
So you think that's the danger? Is that if you have an attraction, that it'll make the relationship weird?
No, the danger is that they might not understand. The other person might not understand and sort of not wish to be your friend anymore. And that's where you feel like you've lost, not that you've lost much, you probably haven't lost much if they didn't want to be your friend after they knew that.
Yeah.
But just that you could have developed a good friendship.
Even if you were attracted to somebody, you could develop a good friendship.
Yeah.
You don't feel that your part would get in the way.
Yeah, without, right.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, attraction is something that's not everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like we might better try to have some communication with straight women and let them know that there's nothing to be afraid of, even if there is attraction there, if we could figure out a way to do that.
That's hard, though.
Yeah.
That's hard. Because I know just recently I was taking this stretch and strength class before dance, you know, mm-hmm. up here at school movement. And I'm attracted to the instructor very much to the point where I knew that it was affecting my performance because,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she bent over, I mean, I, I couldn't help but look. And I used to get really nervous. And I mean, I was acting like a little, I was acting like someone who's got a crush, you know. I mean, that's how, I know that's how I was coming across,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the shaking knees and I couldn't look at her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I asked her out though. I asked her to go see Merce Cunningham with me. And she said, yeah, so before I bought tickets, and before that, I, you know, before we go, I wanted to have lunch with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, we had lunch. And it was nice, it was nice. I brought her here, we were here like a couple hours, and we talked quite a bit. And I told her, when I took her home, I told her that I liked women, that I had never lived with a man, that it was a woman. And I've never in my life been so aware of what I did to someone else, you know, like by my telling someone what I am. And I remember that she was smiling, she sort of stopped smiling and got really tense with that idea and said to me, well, as long as we understand each other. And then she added kind of like, sort of to make it light, like, well, you know, that's nature. But since then, I've noticed she's a little uncomfortable when I come around, thinking that maybe why I told her is it's easier for me to take advantage of her because now she knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's left open, so to speak. Yeah, that's hard. And I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry. I mean, and in a sense, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry because I think that'll eventually change, you know, in time. That'll change.
You think she'll relax?
Yeah, and I think I'll relax too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Plus, she's going to Merce Cunningham with me. She's...
They're yeah. still in the future?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Oh, she didn't call the day off.
Yeah, no, she didn't call that off. She yeah. could.
Yeah.
She could. Mm-hmm. No, she hasn't called that off. I mean, I respect her. I mean, I would never yeah. try anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do like her.
Yeah, it is a difficult situation.
And that's hard, you know, Madeline, because I'll tell you, whoa, and I, was that on?
Yeah, it's not.
Oh.
I was just feeling it. See, oh, it's almost easier for me to feel the movement than it is to
like
see
this
it.
Was, I felt like this was just, you know, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's still like
when I lived with Jody, you know, it seemed like all the people that I knew, they weren't good enough. You know, she would break them, I mean, tear them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, they were just common people. They weren't, you know, they were workers, and, but they were good people.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that she made me so aware of was my image, you know. And she sort of cut that down so that, you know, I wanted, not that I wanted a new image, I knew that I was better off with a new image. And that was more self-esteem and not whatever. But I had never been, I've never, like I've always sort of kept in close circles, you know. I never made it a point to look at a straight woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm around them all the time. I can't help but look at them. And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That is hard. That's hard. Because, you know, it's not that easy if I do want to go out with someone, it's not that easy. You gotta, if you want them real bad, you have to connive of a way how to get them to go out with you, and that seems so low.
Do you think other lesbians have that same kind of problem?
Sure.
I'm talking about other lesbians having the same problems.
I know. I have a friend now who's working at Chevy, and you know you find a girl attractive, and what can you say? She's having a hard time too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just knowing that you just can't expose that part of yourself, so that it's hard.
Do you think that a lot of gay women have the same kind of like self-image problems that you've been talking about?
Well, in my age group,
whatever age group, Or do you think that that's like specific to you? Or maybe, it doesn't have to do with lesbians?
Maybe no. Yeah. No, I don't think that at all. I don't really think it's specific to me. I feel that it's specific right now because it's big and it's mm-hmm. big for me. But if I were to really sit back and look, no, I think it's happening. I mean, I can look at a few friends right now and think, yeah, they're having the same trouble, only we don't talk about it because it's, you know, like it's the personal things that we have to deal with, so it's something we don't really talk about. And that's funny that we don't talk about that, because we should talk about that. It helps.
Mm-hmm. You think establishing like a good self-image is harder for lesbians?
Is harder for lesbians?
Yeah, then I don't know, okay, then maybe for the straight one. I mean, think it's just hard for women?
No, I think they have more difficulties, maybe, in establishing some kind of self-esteem, or more obstacles to go through, but maybe it's just the same.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know a few straight women that have had it harder.
Yeah. Do you think that that having a community or even a circle of friends that's supportive helps at all?
Yeah. I think for me right now, I have a few close friends who have known what I've been through and what I'm going through. And yeah, they've helped me quite a bit, and yet they don't do it all themselves. Like they turn around and say, well, you know, hey, you're coming along, you'll be all right, you know, you'll be okay. Yeah, no, sure, that helps. God, there have been times when I felt all alone. You know, I mean, I live alone now, but I mean, I felt totally alone, like no one, mm-hmm. no one to go to. And just at that moment, maybe that someone would call me and say, how are you doing? And they would pick me right up.
So you have had a sense sort of all along, and especially at a time like this, of like having a support network of some sort.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Can you think of anything else that you feel we haven't covered? Think of anything right now.